on campus
and online.
This
is URN.
Welcome to the News at 5, where we discuss national, local and international news. Starting with our local story for today, £2.9 million to boost energy efficiency in Nottingham social homes. Proposals to make energy efficiency improvements to a further 370 social homes has been given the green light by the Nottingham City Council. The local authority has agreed to plans at its executive board meeting on Tuesday, June 20th. More than £2.9 million of grant funding from the Social Housing Decarbonisation Fund, Wave 2.1, has been secured following a successful consortium bid, led by the Midlands Net Zero Hub. Through the collaborative bid, over £47 million of retrofit funding has been brought into the Midlands region from the Government's Department for Energy Security and Net Zero. These improvements aim to help residents feel more important in their homes, keeping them warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. The City Council said the scheme will also bring additional benefits to the social housing tenants, including reducing energy bills, improving health outcomes, and building pride in neighbourhoods.
Our national story today is that research is suggesting that 55% of students are now undertaking paid work in tandem with their studies, compared to 45% 12 months ago. In the survey of over 10,000 students, 76% said that the cost of living has had a negative impact on their studies, with students working on average, for those that are in employment, on average of 13.5 hours a week. This is following calls from the HEPI report to suggest the government should review maintenance loans to ensure that they increase in a timely fashion and in line with inflation, which, as we all know, has soared in the past year, with a different survey conducted concluding that students had faced 14% rises in cost of living costs due to the cost of living crisis. However, maintenance loans are not going up by nearly that amount, going up by 2.8% for those in England, 9.4% for those in Wales, and 40% for those in Northern Ireland, though it is important to note that the overall support for maintenance loans in Northern Ireland remains lower than elsewhere in the UK. A spokesperson for Universities UK, which represents 140 universities across the UK, said, "Universities are doing their bit by increasing hardship funding, offering subsidised or free food on campus, and increasing other forms of pastoral support. But there is a limit to what they can do without action from government." The Department for Education previously telling the BBC it had made an extra £15 million available in funding for disadvantaged students, totalling £276 million this academic year.
Now for our international news. This week, the OceanGate Titan submersive was found to have imploded en route to seeing the graveyard of the Titanic. It's emerged that the US Navy originally detected an acoustic anomaly consistent with an implosion shortly after the Titan lost contact on Sunday. James Cameron, director of the 1997 Titanic film, who has completed 33 dives to the wreck, said he suspected a disaster after the sub went missing. OceanGate's co-founder, who left the firm a decade ago, told the BBC the sub went through a rigorous test program. Dick Barton, the first British man to dive to the wreck of the Titanic, questioned the design and maintenance of the sub, saying there were many red flags flying here. Following the catastrophic implosion, the safety of the sub is being questioned. Along with Mr. Harding, who would have turned 59 on Saturday, were Shahzada Dawood, 48, and his son Salman Dawood, 19, Paul Henry Darjalot, 77, and Stockton Rush, 61. The cousin and goddaughter of British billionaire Hamish Harding has called for a full investigation into the deaths of the five Titan submersible passengers. This has been the News at 5. Please tune in after the break for URN's official news opinion show, The Pulse.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to URN and we are live on Sutton Bonington.
We are here at Trent Building to report on the mandatory consent rally that is happening.
From on the ground reporting,
I'm going to try and see if some of the nurses will talk to me about why they feel the need to strike today.
To engaging daily news discussion on The Pulse,
Jeannie Barton said artists could now be creative without fear of being arrested. So do we think this is a good idea then?
I feel like a lot of the people who originally voted for him might have voted for his more left-wing policies.
We have something for everyone.
on. So tune in daily from 5 till 6 p.m.
And follow us on Instagram at @URN_news. Most students are now working part-time jobs alongside their studies, according to an annual survey. Research is now suggesting that 55% of students are doing paid work compared to 45% of them 12 months ago. In a survey of over 10,000 students, 76% of them said that the cost of living has had a negative impact on their studies. These findings by the Higher Education Policy Institute suggest that students in paid employment are also working, on average, 13.5 hours per week. Now, in the BBC article itself, doesn't as easily say what sort of spread the job, when students are working, sort of what sort of job students are working. It does list an example of a student who is working multiple jobs to help with sort of the cost of living crisis, as you know, inflation has gone up by a stark amount. Cost of living has increased for students at about 14%, I believe the article lists, with maintenance loans not being anywhere close to matching. And you know, I guess my question is, have you worked during your time at university, Cora? I know I have myself.
Yep, I'm actually working. I've worked this entire year and I'm still working part-time for the charity that I'm a trustee for. I do their social media. And every summer and Christmas break, I have worked at the same charity, running prevention and early intervention projects to support vulnerable young people. Or I've worked at a bar. And
the student classic.
The student classic. Interesting. Don't want to do that ever again. I'll be honest, I grew a lot more respect for students who are working behind the bar during term time, because that is extremely intense. And I don't know how they wake up the next day to go to lectures, go to seminars. And actually, the BBC's article mentioned, as you said, a student who's working three jobs and just to support herself financially while doing her degree in social work. And if one of those jobs was working in a bar, I would not be able to hack it. But apparently she's doing paid work as a nanny, a teaching assistant, and a children's home support worker, often working up to 4 days per week. That's alongside all the lectures, seminars, coursework, independent study. And when it comes to that point, you have to ask, is a degree even worth it at that point? Because you're not going to be able to be in a fresh mindset. You're really going to struggle to focus on what you're being taught and even have the energy to go out and research things yourself.
I mean, I completely agree. You know, it is showing that the government isn't, you know, out there supporting those who need it most. You know, people should not be working 4 days a week in any sort of circumstance, you know, let alone university. Students should not be working 4 days a week in tandem with their studies. The government is already loaning them all this money to ensure that they can get a degree, but then, you know, it's also clearly seeming a bit half-hearted in the support. You know, students are not being supported for those that need it. You know, I can't remember reading about the last time. Do you know when the last time maintenance loan went up at all?
It hasn't the entire time I've been at the university. In fact, I think it went down a bit.
Mm. And, you know, I think that's really telling you that you know, that we live in an age of, you know, quantitative easing. We live in an age of where, you know, currency is a bit more fluid. It's a bit more dynamic. Governments can fiddle with the money machine in order to sort of create more money where it's needed, to create subsidies, to create all this. Britain, you know, promotes itself as one of these sort of high flying intellectual countries full of some of the best universities in the world, and yet doesn't feel the need to, you know, support its students. And, you know, not only through sort of monetary needs, we've also seen, you know, in previous years, sort of calls to cut quote unquote Mickey Mouse degrees. You know, we've seen calls to sort of really strangle down a lot of, you know, the key sectors of the UK. You know, If the world was full of STEM people such as myself, it would be a very, very boring and dull place. And, you know, I certainly know I have glaring weaknesses in my own knowledge. And I definitely think that, you know, we've seen sort of the prospects for people perhaps not doing sort of the support even within universities, sort of talking about University of Nottingham, we've mentioned on previous pulses sort of the levels of which support has been available for students in the science departments versus students in sort of arts and humanities departments. I mentioned, I remember in May on one show, sort of, oh, there was like support dogs coming in and it was all very publicised and they were doing weekly things in the chemistry foyer. And then the three of you on that show were talking about how there was no support really as nearly as public from the university for your respective subjects.
Yeah, I think it was just pizza for us. I think I'd rather have the support dogs though. But we've discussed that before.
Mm-hmm.
And every point you're saying is exactly right. It's devastating how much money can impact passion. I think we were just having this conversation out in the studio with Ben and Rachel, fellow news team members, and a lot of students come to university and pick a degree that they are very passionate about. Like, I picked English. That's not really going to get me anywhere. I am struggling to find a job at the moment, but it was something I was very passionate about at 18. And there was no way at 18 years old, I was going to be like, yes, I know exactly what I want to do with my life. So then when the government says, we have these funding opportunities for you, we will support you throughout your studies, and then pretty much takes that support away and slowly reduces it, messes around with it, tinkers it, as you say, as you said, Connor, it is so frustrating. And I think it is entirely unfair, particularly on students who don't get the full maintenance loan, who are from middle class families, who do meet the threshold for, don't meet the lowest threshold, they go over it, for family income. And they are given the smallest amount of money to support their studies, but their family doesn't have enough to actually support them back. So instead they're having to go out, get free jobs, four jobs, work entire nights at nightclubs, at bars. It just becomes an issue of how difficult are you going to make things for these students? But in contrast to that, just before I let you speak, Connor, I do think in a way that by having to work all of these jobs, by having to be juggling their studies with work, these students are going to have massive resilience. Their organisation is going to be fantastic and their CVs are going to look brilliant. So I would hope by the time that they're in final year, when they're applying for jobs, I really hope that they won't find any difficulties. If they do, then I will go fighting for them. You heard it here first on the Friday Pulse.
Is that what you're planning on doing once you leave UON?
Yes, from tomorrow. I am here for you. I am your justice warrior. No, actually, I'm not. I would just like to say that's just a joke. And it is just frustrating, I think, at the end of the day.
I mean, you mentioned, you know, once people reach final year, but that assumes that they do reach final year, that taking on these stressful jobs, you know, that might negatively impact their studies, negatively impact their results, negatively impact their social lives. You know, people come to university for a university experience, not being able to do that because you have to work a job, you know, can really strain your mental health. You know, I imagine it's very, very exclusionary as a result for a lot of people in actually being able to cope with university stresses and make it to the final year, because, you know, I think we've seen mental health in universities certainly becoming a lot more prevalent, and whilst universities are getting going on supporting it a lot better, it's still not there. And I think, you know, the comfortability in sort of living conditions is a big, big part of that. I know that for me, in catered halls last year, in a single room, shared bathroom, so basically one up from like being in a shared room, the sort of standard, so to speak, option. This was the most common option in Rutland Hall, which at University of Nottingham is one of the cheaper halls on campus. The weekly rent was far, far exceeded the maintenance loan I received by a significant margin. I had to pour in a good amount of money from working over the summer myself, which I was happy to work over the summer anyways. I love my job. If the landlord at the bar, at the pub I work at, is listening, I do really love it, and I am looking forward to going back, in fairness. But, you know, when the basic sort of living in a hall, living on campus instead of, for a first year, not living on campus, or, you know, living... I mean, Broadgate, granted, is cheaper. But even then, I think a standard room, either this year or next year, or last year even, was around £127 a week. And whilst, yes, that is only for a maybe 33 or 39-week contract, depending on what it is, that's still a lot of money that does add up, that does sort of really, really push at those thresholds for maintenance loans. Because, you know, a maintenance loan isn't just for accommodation. It's also intended for you know, the other basic necessities like food. And even though Broadgate might be cheaper in accommodation terms, you then have to account for food. You then have to account for, you know, realistically, people don't go just to university just to study. They do go to experience things. It's you're in the prime of your life while you're here, by and large. Not saying this right as you're leaving.
Ouch.
But
crying.
I think, you know, it goes to show that there is more to the university life, and it's not being supported by the government. They clearly do not think that, like, outside of studying, there should be anything you're doing.
I'm speechless, I'll be honest. I completely agree with everything you say there. I feel like students have just been abandoned, and kind of you've seen in the run-up to your applying to university throughout your entire secondary school and sixth form college life, you see all these publications, all this marketing about how fantastic university is for social life, for studying, for career prospects. And I don't think that is the case anymore. I think that money has become the golden goose for the government, for the university, and they have forgotten about students in that mix. And it's a horrid shame that students are having to basically choose between studying, working, being financially stable, and having a social life.
On campus
and online,
this
is URN.